piece of Torah here from Rav Nassim Gestetner Zatzal. Rav Nassim Gestetner passed away in 2010. Rav Nassim Gestetner was a great posek who lived in Bnei Brak. I've told you I was supposed to meet him on one occasion at his home. And he was Mali Vagadush with Torah. He wrote many, many volumes of Shilas and Chuvos, Lahoras Nassim. He had a yeshiva. He passed away in 2010. Born in the early 1930s. And they put out a few years ago a sefer Nassim Pirio, which are his collected writings in halacha, in sugyas, in drashos, on Chanukah. So I want to, l'chavad Rosh Chodesh Kislev, we'll learn a little drasha on Chanukah. Okay, we'll start in the bottom left-hand corner. B'medrash Rabbah, the very famous medrash that many discuss. V'choshech zegal es yavon. We know that if you look at the beginning of the Chumash, it describes four types of lack of godliness. There's Tohu, there's Bohu, there's Choshech, there's Tahom. And Chazal in the Medrash, at the beginning of the Medrash Rabbah, in Bereishis, say that those four phrases, Tohu, Bohu, Choshech, and Tahom, correspond to the four exiles of Jewish history. The third one, Choshech, darkness, corresponds to the third struggle of Jewish history, which is Galus Yavan. And the Medrash says, Shechshicha einayhem shal Yisrael, they made our eyes dark with their gezeros. But then the Medrash goes on to give a very specific example of what type of gezerah they made against us. Turn the page. Shehaisa omeres lahem, that they said to the Jewish people, top of page 442, Taf Membez, that they said to the Jewish people, Kisvu al keren hashor she'ein lachem chelek b'lokei Yisrael. You should write on the horn of an ox that you have no portion in the God of Israel. What does that mean? Write on the horn of an ox? What horn of an ox? Where? What? Actually write this. They forced Jews. What if I don't own an ox? What if I don't own a shore? A lot has been written about this. Why Dafka, the Yavanim, darkened our eyes, so to speak, through this very difficult gezeirah of Kisvu al keren hashor she'ein lachem chelek b'lokei Yisrael. So Nasi Geshender says, I'll tell you pshat. Hatam shegazru lichtov dafka al keren hashor. Why dafka al keren hashor? You want the Jews to declare they don't believe in the Jewish God, so make each Jew give a verbal declaration. Why did the Yavanim want them to write it? And why did they want them to write it on the Keren Ashur? If you want to write it, so make the Jews write it, pass around some ledger and let every Jew sign his name in the ledger that says, I don't believe in God. Or drag them before a government official and make them declare openly, I don't believe in the Jewish God. What's Kisvu Keren Ashur? So it says with us in Gestad, and they're very sharp. And you'll see unbelievable, but you'll see his Bekias. You'll get a taste of it from this piece. But his Bekias in all areas of Torah was really a remarkable thing. And he left. He left countless manuscripts that have yet to be published. He wrote hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of pages of Chiddushei Torah. Really an unbelievable Torah personality. His Shalos and Tshuvos are very well known. And considered one of the great authorities in Psak in recent years. So he writes, he says, the answer perhaps is the Pasuk at the beginning of Sefer Yeshayim. The Pasuk says, Yeshayahu Navi says, Yada shor koneyu v'chamur evus ba'alav. The Navi Yeshayah criticizes Klal Yisrael that the shor knows its master, and the donkey recognizes its feeding trough. But you, Jewish people, you don't recognize God. So Rav Nassim Gestetner says, we see the Pasuk talks about a shor recognizing its master, and a chamor at least identifying where it can get something to eat. So it says Rav Nassim Gestetner, look what he says. Uperusha, hakavana ki hashor makir es kono hadoig litzarchav. The shor, the imagery of the shor, the axe, recognizes what? Recognizes its master, the one who troubles itself, who worries over its needs. The one who provides for it. If not for the fact that his master provides him with food and guides him to good pasture. The ox understands, without my master, I'm nothing. What about the chamor? The chamor, unfortunately, gets lost as it sticks its head into its feeding trough. Right? The chamor sees the food and it sees the place where it gets the food, but it doesn't recognize that someone's putting the food there. The chamor who sees again the place where it eats, shemimenu ochel makir tova la'ivus atzmo. The chamor unfortunately doesn't realize, right, that the food didn't end up in that bin for him to enjoy on its own. There's a master who's putting the food there for the chamor to enjoy. He doesn't realize. He thinks, oh yeah, there's always food in this spot. I just go to the spot and I eat the food. The chamor doesn't understand that there's a master who's supplying him with that food. And he starts to think that the feeding trough itself is what? Is its master. He doesn't realize that he has a master that's independent from the food itself. Look at the Mefarshim here at the beginning of Sefer Yeshaya, who discussed the difference between, again, the shur and the chamor in our pasuk. But based on this, we understand very well why the Yevanim want us to declare Kisvo Keren HaShur. Because the shur, in Navi, the Navi says that the shur is the paradigm of someone who recognizes its master. Umevuar ki ashur, where it's underlined, double underlined. Umevuar ki ashur, romez abachinas das hamakiras kono. Ashur means that I know who I'm connected to. I know who I draw from. Right? I know that I don't exist in a vacuum, but someone's providing me with everything that I need. The wicked Yevanim wanted the Jews to abandon the religion. Lo rak al yedei hachna osam letaivos gashmis bilvad. But the threat, what made Yavon so scary, as opposed to, let's say, maybe the world today, which is primarily Gullus Edom, although we'll talk about it as we get closer to Hanukkah, right? Our world is really the combination of Yavon and Edom. Yavon never ended. Yavon just transitioned into the final Gullus. So we're still grappling, in an academic sense, you'll see what I mean by that in a moment, with the world of Yavon, right? But Edom is more the world of Taiva. Edom is the world of what? Edom is the world of just go out and have a good time. Hefkeris. Don't think so much. Don't worry about anything. Right? Yavan, which is known for its chachma, it had great wisdom. Yavan tried to make a philosophy out of rejecting God. That's different than just getting lost in the pleasures of Olam Hazeh. So that's what he says here. The Yavanim were not trying to suppress the Jewish people and to destroy us spiritually through Taivas Gashmias Bilvad. Right? Like the chamor, like the donkey that sticks its head into its food and doesn't pick up its head, doesn't realize that there's a master who he works for. Right? Doesn't realize that there's a world around him because he's burying his face in his food. So that's the person who's lost in Taivos. But rather, the Yevanim wanted to what? To make a philosophy, to make an intellectual study out of rejection of God. Ki Yevanim ikar kocham bechachma mitzara tumah. And now we begin to understand how the Yevanim, the antithesis of Torah, right, created the world and are the forebearers of the Chachma Mitzara Tumah. Chachma in a negative sense, yeah.
Are there makorot that
connect
Edom to Chamor?
Well, Edom is Esav, right, this week's Parsha. Edom is Esav, and Esav is compared to the Shur. The Chamor is really Yishmael. But the fourth and final Gullus, according to the Medrash Pirkei Rabbi Eliezer, is really a combination of Edom and Yishmael. So we're living in the aftermath of the Shur stage one, which is Yavan, Shur stage two, which is Esav, which is Christianity, which is Western culture, right? And then the combination of the Chamor, right? When by Kedas Yitzchak, Gemara Yevamis Darshins, that when Avram says to Yishmael, Shvulachem Po Machamor, you stay here with the donkey, so Yishmael's compared to the donkey. Am hadom lechamor. But there's no question that this overlap of shor and chamor in the negative sense are present in the world today, in the combo gullus that we're experiencing today. Both in terms of, again, the leftover remnant of Yavan, plus Edom, which is the pashup shot of the gullus we're in today. But the Medrash also reveals to us we're also in gullus Yishmael. So again, it's very obvious. You have to just open up a newspaper and you see that the newspaper is figuring out today what we knew 2,000 years ago. But this is how it's going to play itself out in the world today. There's going to be Edom, there's going to be Christianity, the Western culture, there's going to be militant Islam, there's going to be Yishmael, and the Jewish people are going to be somewhere in the middle trying to push aside both of them to bring the Gula Shlema. Okay? Good. So he says, the Yavan is the Chachma mitzad atumha. The Gemara says in Baba Kama Pei Beis Amud Beis, Oru Ha'adam She Yilmar Es Beno Chachmas Yavanis. Cursed is the one who what? Who teaches his child Chachmas Yavanis. Who teaches his child Greek wisdom. Now we'll have to see. We're going to have to think about this also, because we're not we try not to, at least in our shir, we try not to be overly simplistic about things. Right? Because Chazal have a lot of very good things to say about Greek wisdom as well. And Greek language. We might have to be mechalik between Greek language and Greek wisdom. We'll see it. The Gemara and Baba Kama right around there. We'll see it in a moment. Right? But we have to understand that on the one hand, Yavan is very close to Torah. And on the other hand, Yavan is very threatening. And Haba Atalia, those two things are dependent upon each other. It's the fact that Yavan has real wisdom that they can become so threatening to the Jewish people. So what does it mean, cursed is the one who teaches his child Chachmas Yavanis? The Maharal explains in his Sefer Ner Mitzvah on Chanukah and the other Galios as well. Ki Malchus Yavan hi hamuchan lisnaged liyisrael b'mashe yeshlem Torah Mitzvah Selukim. Yavan feels terribly threatened by what? By our godly wisdom called Torah. Ki al Malchus zu shayach la chachma. Because Yavan believes in wisdom and they have real wisdom. But it's man-made wisdom. Shehi seichel ha'adam bilvad. Lo ha'seichel ha'eloki. And therefore, the Yavanim recognize that there's only one source of wisdom that's greater than their own wisdom, and that's the Torah. And that's why they feel so threatened by it. They don't understand, and they can't relate to, or they can relate to and feel threatened by the fact that there's a seichel eloki that's nivdal. That there's a concept of wisdom that is purely spiritual, not man-made. Asher hi ha'Torah ha'elokis, which of course is our Torah. And therefore, cursed is the one who teaches his son Chachmas Yavanis. So says Rav Geshen there at the bottom of the first column where it's underlined. V'ratzer shi Yisrael. They wanted very badly that the Jewish people should be kofer chas v'shalom. Be'ukei Yisrael. Mitoch das v'chachma detuma. Again, it wasn't a casual rejection of God. It wasn't, let's overwhelm the Jews physically, like Haman who threatened to kill us. Or like today, where we're overwhelmed by the taivas of Olam Hazeh. The Yavanim made a philosophy. They wanted to replace the wisdom of Torah with the wisdom of Yavan. And in that way, to reject Kiswa al-Karan Ashur. The Shur was a clarity who its master is. They wanted us to reject the Jewish God with intent. V'lo sagi lehu sheyavru chas v'shalom al adas mitoch taivas gashmi esbilvad. V'lachein gozru dafko lichtov al-Karan Ashur. Haromez al-Bachina ha-makir eskono. V'ratu sha'akar zu tehei chas v'shalom lehepich. She'ein lehem chelek b'lokei Yisrael. They wanted us to become the opposite of what the Shur again embodies, which is the recognition of one's master. He continues in the next paragraph. Uvezeh yuvan omram zal. This is what the Gemara in Shabbos Chaf Aleph is perhaps alluding to. If we read the Gemara precisely, we'll see wondrous things. Kishenich lesu yuvanim lehecha. Timu kol hashmanim shabeecha. When the Yavanim entered the Hecha, they were metame all of the oil in the Hecha. Chaver, tell me, which word is extra in that sentence? Kishenichlesu Yavanim lehechal, timu kol hashmanim shabehechal. Shabehechal. When the Yavanim entered the Hechal, it could have just said, timu kol hashmanim. And we would have known that the oil that they were metame was the oil in the Hechal, in the Beis HaMikdash. Why do you need to say shabehechal again? When the Jewish people were victorious with the leadership of the Chashmonaim, they found a single flask of oil with the seal of the Kohen Gadol. A year later, in celebration of the miracle, okay, we all know the Gemara. Good. So Rav Nassim Geshtender asked two questions. First of all, Tzarech Biur. One, Amai Haya Nes B'Shemen Dafka. There are many parts of the Beis HaMikdash that were destroyed by our enemies. There were many other kalim of the Beis HaMikdash which could have displayed signs of wonder. So why Dafka Shemen? Why did the miracle Dafka come about through Shemen? What is the imagery of oil? And why did Hashem Dafka want us to defeat the Yavanim with this miracle of oil? And second of all, the question that you correctly raised, which is why does it have to say, Amai diktahu lomar shetibu kol hashmanim shebehechal? Halo kvar amru shenichlesu yavanim lehechal? Im kein bavad aisha Hashem and shetimu behechal haya? Why does it have to say, they went into the building, and they were metami the oil in the building? We know You told me they went into the Heichal. They walked into the main building of the Beis HaMikdash. So the oil that they were metame was in the building. So he says, perhaps, based on what we just learned from the Maharal, about the difference between Chachmas HaTorah and Chachma Yavanis, we can understand. It all makes sense. What makes sense? Ki ikur kalach hayavanim hi bechachmasam shehi mitzar hatuma. Again, the strength of the Yavanim, the power of the Yavanim, right? Even their physical prowess was in response and came about through their great wisdom. Now, their wisdom was mitzar hatuma, was coming from an unholy source. Certainly compared to the purity of Torah wisdom. Asher hi hifucho shel chachma mitzara kedusha. V'lachein ratzu litamos es ha-shemen shebeheichal dafka. Why were they targeting oil of the Heichal? What is the inyan of oil of the Heichal? We have to understand what oil is. We have to understand what the Beis HaMikdash is. More than just a place to bring karbanos. Look what he writes. Chazal saying the Gemara Menachos, commenting on a pasuk in Shmuel Beis, Vayishlach Yoav Tekoa, Vayikach Misham Isha Chachama. Yoav sent to Tekoa, and he took from there a wise woman. Why are wise people found in Tekoa? So the Gemara comments, Amar Rabbi Yehuda, Mitoch Shragilin B'Shemen Zayis, Chachma Mitzuya Behen. Says the Gemara, from the fact that Shemen Zayis, since oil is abundant in Tekoa, and oil makes a person wise, therefore, when Yoav sent to Tekoa, he was able to find a very wise woman there. Perush Rashi, the Shemen Zayis, Mifakeach HaSalev. Shemen Zayis has an ability to what? To broaden one's mind. Note that Chazal say the opposite about olives. Olives actually cause shichacha, the Gemara says. A person who's rugil bezeisim, a person who accustoms himself to eating olives, and again, the postman discuss what does it mean, one who accustoms himself to eating olives. But Chazal are under the assumption that if a person eats olives regularly, it will cause forgetfulness. Olive oil is the exact opposite. The Gemara says that olive oil can actually restore and can maintain 70 years of wisdom. Okay, so I need to think about the olive before it's squeezed versus the olive after it's squeezed. But either way, the Gemara is very clear, Menachos, that what? That Tekoa, which was a place of Shemen, is a place of Chachma. Because Shemen is Merumas to Chachma. Harei the Shemen Zayas Romez al Chachma. So therefore, however, what is the Shemen Zayas of the Heichal? What does it mean, the oil of the Heichal? The oil of the Beis HaMikdash? Shemen Zayas al Heichal Romez al Chachma Shimitzara Kedusha Beheichal Hashem. It's a wisdom that emanates specifically from the Beis HaMikdash. It's not a wisdom that's going to be man-made or found in a college professor's presentation. It's a wisdom that has the absolute purity of the Chachma HaTorah. Vayivonim ratu dafka letame chachma kedosha zo ulachnia al yidei chachma shemitzara tuma vahainu shetimu kol hashmanim shebeheichal dafka. That's why the Gemara emphasizes, we know where they are. We know the location. But what the Yavanim were seeking, proactively seeking to damage and destroy, was what? Was the Shemen Shebeheichal. That's why the Gemara emphasizes it. Timu kol hashmanim shebeheichal. They dafka want the Shemen. They're not just looking to destroy Jewish items. They're targeting the essence of Jewish wisdom. Which is again, which is merumas, which is hinted to in the Shemen Shebeheichal. In the oil of the Beis HaMikdash. Now we have to start thinking of the Beis HaMikdash as a place of Torah. So turn to the top of the next page. Tuf Mem Gimel, page 443, and it'll explain to us exactly that the Beis HaMikdash has to be in our minds not only a place of avoda but a place of Torah. As the Maharal writes in his Sefer Ne'er Mitzvah once again, V'chein al Beis HaMikdash sheyesh lo mala elokis kedosha hey misnagdim bi yoser hamalchus hazos shel Yavan. The Yavanim targeted this holy expression of God in the form of the Beis HaMikdash. They were particularly interested in targeting the Beis HaMikdash. How does that fit their theme of targeting Jewish wisdom? Because the Beis HaMikdash, Ki Mitzion Teitzei Torah, Udvar Hashem Yerushalayim. And the closer you get to the Beis HaMikdash, the closer you get to Torah. Ki HaTorah, look what he writes, this is Maharal, where it's underlined. Ki HaTorah uBeis HaMikdash, Heim Shtei Madrego Zo Al Zo. The Torah and the Beis HaMikdash are two sides of one coin. The Beis HaMikdash is the embodiment of Torah in a place. As we often, or always, find these two things together. For example, you hear Atzon, Shiyibana Beis HaMikdash Shemhera B'Yameinu, right? V'sein Chalkeinu B'sar HaSecha. Why, when we daven for the restoration of the Beis HaMikdash, we often, or always, daven for our portion in Torah? Because again, Haba HaTalia, the dependent one upon the other. When a Jew has the Beis HaMikdash, it's much easier for us to connect to Torah. Not just Psak, not just Hora in the sense of a Sanhedrin paskening, right? But the epicenter of all Torah wisdom comes from the Makom HaMikdash. V'lakach hayu misnagdim el mitzvos haTorah lebeis HaMikdash v'frat. So therefore we understand now why the Avanim were so mad at the physical Beis HaMikdash. They wanted to destroy the Beis HaMikdash. V'frat, the Shemen Shebeicha. They were targeting the wisdom of the Beis HaMikdash. V'lakach haMitzvah shenaseh lahem. Hayim b'nei ros shel Beis HaMikdash kiner mitzvah v'Torah or. So therefore how fitting it is that the menorah, the kli of the Beis HaMikdash that represents Torah, the Aron, of course, also represents Torah in the Beis HaMikdash, right? But the menorah that represents specifically the Torah Shebaal Peh, right? Our involvement in the unfolding story of Torah, that's what the Avanim were targeting. And that's what the miracle expresses. The miracle expresses that the light of Torah burns on. And that the Avanim don't have the means to mitame our Torah. Adkan Lashon Kodesh. Adkan, the holy words of the Maharal. V'tam sh'ayivanim misnagdim dafka lebeis HaMikdash. So now we understand why the Avanim were so angry at the Beis HaMikdash. They targeted specifically the Beis HaMikdash. Ki ha-Beis HaMikdash hu ha-makor la-ashpas chachmas ha-Torah shi mitzad ha-kedusha. Because again, the place that maintains the sanctity of Torah is the Beis HaMikdash. Ha-Beis Medrash is a Mikdash Ma'at. When we walk into the Beis Medrash, we're walking into a Mikdash Ma'at. Right, the advantage of learning in an official base medrash as opposed to learning sitting on a park bench outside is that I'm tapping back into the base of Mikdash, which means I'm tapping back into the purity of Torah. Okay, and where do we see this to be true? It brings an interesting proof of this from the Gemara in Sanhedrin. The Torah talks about the concept of a Zakein Mamre. What's a Zakein Mamre? Literally a rebellious elder. It's a person who thinks he knows better than the Sanhedrin, and he tells people not to listen to the Sanhedrin, and he confronts the Sanhedrin, and they hear his position, and they say, we still disagree with you. And he goes out and he tells people, don't listen to the Sanhedrin, listen to me. So such a person is put to death. That's a rebellious elder. He's overthrowing, he's confronting and challenging Torah authority. So Rav Nosson Gestetner has a very interesting way of reminding us that the Torah of the Beis HaMikdash is of a different quality than Torah conversation that takes place outside the Beis HaMikdash. What's the proof? Look what he says. We find by the Zakein Mamre, right, the following. Matzan Zakein Mamre l'Sanhedrin v'Beis Pagi v'himra aleihem yachol tehei hamra aso hamra. If the Sanhedrin encounter, or the Zakein Mamre encounters the Sanhedrin outside of Lishchas HaGazis, if the Zakein Mamre has a conversation with the members of the Sanhedrin when the Sanhedrin are not in their place in the Beis HaMikdash, you might think that that's also considered an act of rebellion for which the Zakein Mamre can be put to death. Talmud Lomar, says the Gemara, v'kamta v'alisa el hamakom. It's only when the Zakein Mamre confronts Torah authority, when it's where? In the Makom HaMikdash. When the Sanhedrin are in their place. Milamed, look at these words, shamakom goreim. The Sanhedrin, we only trust the authority of the Sanhedrin, that no one can dare argue on them, when they're speaking from where? When they're speaking from the Beis HaMikdash. Because from within the confines of the Beis HaMikdash, their Torah is absolutely pure. Haray, look what he writes. Shemakom HaMikdash gorim lashpia l'Sanhedrin chachmas haTorah hamitis asher kol chayavim lishmoa bekolam. You only need to listen to the Sanhedrin. Again, their words are only absolute if it comes through the purity of the Mikdash itself. And now, therefore, we understand why the Avanim so much hated, alongside the Torah, they hated the Beis HaMikdash. By Avanim Shehem Bekorah Chachma Shemitzara Tumba Hisnagdu Dafka LeBeis HaMikdash Shushorash Harasnagdus LeChachmasam V'zeh SheTimu Kol HaShmanim SheBeHeichal Klomar SheRatzu LeTamos Es Chachmas HaTorah SheBeHeichal Hashem. They wanted to uproot and to confront and to challenge and to mitameh the purity of Torah wisdom as it comes from the Heichal Hashem. Okay, bottom paragraph of the right-hand column on page 443. Now we can understand a Gemara in Perek Merubah, Baba Kama. In Baba Kama, there's a Mishnah on Ayin Testament Beis that says that you're not allowed.
I'm very good.
Welcome back to Hirsch Melech. For those who are new to the Shia this year, this is Hirsch Melech. He's our Rebbe, I'm just his assistant.
I know this Chaver. He is a Mirai Berat.
I met him one time.
You met him?
One time.
He make 85 Chibirim. 85 Chibirim. You know what I mean, 85 Chibirim? Svarim. God Svarim. Lomdas, Shivas, and he was a wonderful Magid.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, that involved
a connection. Rosh Chodesh, we have to get involved with Chanukah. So the Mishnah says on Ayin Testament Beis in Baba Kama, it says that you're not allowed to raise pigs in Yerushalayim. Ein megadlin chazirin b'chol makom. We don't want pigs in Eretz Yisrael. How did that come to be? I say, what do you mean? A pig is a tamei animal. That's how it came to be. No, there was a specific ma'isa that the Gemara describes a few blot later on Pei Beis and Mei Beis that tells us how this came to be. After the Chashmonaim were victorious, the Chashmonaim became the ruling class of the Jewish people. But at times there were fights amongst the families of the Chashmonaim who would rule. And of course that led to their terrible demise. So the Gemara tells the following story, that one time two families of the Chashmonaim were clashing. Tanu Rabbanu, Kishitzaru Beis Chashmonai Zeh Al Zeh. When the Chashmonai families were confronting one another, were fighting with one another. Hayahorkinus Mibifnim Rastabolis Mibachutz. One of the families, Horkinus, was on the inside of Yerushalayim, inside the walls. Veritzdabilus mibachutz, and Eritzdabilus was on the outside. Uvechol yom ha'im eshalshum lahem bekupa dinarin. Every day they would send over a basket of money, vayuman lahem to meet him. And they would send back from the other side of the wall animals to be brought for the Karban Tamid. Ha'yisham zakein echad shahayimakir b'chachmas yavanus. Look at this Gemara. Top of the left column. Hayisham zakin echad shayamakir b'chachmas yavanis. As the families of the Chashmonaim were waging battle against each other, and yet still, sending karbanos right into Yerushalayim. All of a sudden, a zakin, we'll have to be medayik in that word, who was makir b'chachmas yavanis, who recognized chachma yavanis, amar lahem calls man she'oskin b'avoda in nimsarim b'yadchem. This Zakin was outside the wall, said, as long as the Karbanos are still being offered, you'll never be able to overthrow them. So therefore, what happened the next day? The Machar Shilshalu Dinarin Bekupa. They sent over again the usual basket of money to pay for a Karban, to send back the animals for the Karban Tamid. The Elohem Chazir. And they sent back a pig. They hoisted over a pig. Kevan Shigil Lachatzi Choma. As the pig reached the halfway point of the wall, Natzi Parna Bechoma. It dug its hooves into the wall. V'nizdazeya Eretz Yisrael, arba meos parsa, arba meos parsa. And Eretz Yisrael trembled 400 parsa by 400 parsa. Chazal say in several places in Shas that 400 parsa by 400 parsa is the measurement of Eretz Yisrael. So that's a code word for saying all of Eretz Yisrael shook as this pig was being hoisted over the wall. V'osa shal amru, at that moment it was declared aror. Ha'ish yigadel chazirim va'ara ha'adam shilamid es b'no chachmas yavanis. Cursed is the person who dares to try to raise pigs in Eretz Yisrael, and cursed is the person who teaches his son the wisdom of the Greeks. So says with us in Geshtetner, Hinei, dafka hazakin shalamad chachmas yavanis hu shenasan eitz alavatal savodis beis hamikdash. It's not by chance that someone who is well versed in Greek wisdom was the one who came up with the Eitzah to what? To stop the Beis HaMikdash. To be able to undermine the Beis HaMikdash and the Karbanos of the Beis HaMikdash. Why? Ki ikar malas makam ha-mikdash hu biglal avoda. The Mikdash requires the avoda to really be functioning as a Mikdash. That's sort of the purpose of the Mikdash. As the Rambam writes in Hilchos Beis HaBechira, mitzvah saseh lasos bayis la-Hashem. What's the point of having a Beis HaMikdash? Muchan lios makriven bo karbanos. A lot has been written about this Rambam. What is the essence of the Beis HaMikdash? Is it a Beis Tefillah? Is it a place of Karbanos? Is it a place of Torah? Is it a place of Ashras HaShechina? But this Rambam, many write about it, the Rambam says the purpose of the Beis HaMikdash seems to be for offering Karbanos. So to keep the mikdash functioning, you need karbanos. So says Rav Nosson Gestetner, it's not by chance. It is not at all by chance that a person who was well versed in Chachmas Yevanis understood how to undermine the Beis Hamikdash. V'lulei she'osu zaken hayam makir b'Chachmas Yevanis lo hayam ma'ala b'dayto levata levodas Beis Hamikdash. If not for the fact, meaning why couldn't Aristobulus, who was outside the walls, figure this out on his own? Why does Gemara highlight that dafka someone who was well versed in Chachmas Yevanis thought of this plan? Oh, you know what? If we get the Beis Hamikdash to stop functioning, then you'll be able to win the war. Why couldn't anyone else think of that? It seems like why were they assisting each other all along? Ki afilu b'nei Aristobulus shahayu mibachutz v'tzaru al horkenus shemibifnim lo ala al daitim levat al satmidim. They did not think to try to undermine the Karban Tamid. However, Baram, zakein zeh shayam makir b'chachmas yevanis v'haitzach chachmaso mitzara tuma hu shayam makir b'godol erechokol shalavodas Beis Hamikdash. Is dafka the person who is the embodiment of the opposite of the holiness of the Beis Hamikdash, who understood what a threat the Beis Hamikdash was to his worldview, to his chachma mitzara tuma. He understood what opposed him. And that's how the Zakin was able to come up with this Eitzah. And let's pay closer attention, says Rav Nosson Gestetner. Why dafka, at this moment when the family of the Chashmonaim are fighting, did he realize that you could actually do this, that you could actually overthrow? Because he understood that the Chashmonaim were the ones who fought valiantly for the Beis Hamikdash. They were the ones who upheld the Beis Hamikdash. And therefore dafka, when the Chashmonaim are having an internal war, a civil war, that's the moment that what? The Yevanim say, we can undermine the Beis Hamikdash. Ki Beis Chashmonaim, the Chashmonaim who fought again against the Yevanim, who were victorious over the Yevanim, the achziru es avoda le Beis Hamikdash, the Chashmonaim who upheld the avoda of the Beis Hamikdash, hayu kocham levatel es chachmas Yavan ulakayim es avodas Beis Hamikdash. They are the koach to fight against Yavan. They are the koach to ensure the protection of the Beis Hamikdash. However, heyos shitzaru zelzeh, but when there was internal machlokes amongst the family of Chashmonaim, Ratzu Lishlo Zelzeh, and they wanted to dominate one another. Turn the page to the final page. As Rashi says, Sham Hayuma Riven al Davar Malucha, that what were Horkinus and Aristobulus fighting about? They were fighting over the Malchus, which really neither of them were Shaykh to, because Malchus belongs to Yehuda, to Beis David. Lachin Nistalka Chachmasa. When you fight for power, when you fight for kavod, right, you lose your chachma. And again, with his great bekiyas, Rav Nosson Gestetner says, it's a gemara in Pesachim. Kol ha-misyar im chacham hu, chachmaso mistalekes. Anyone who acts with gaiva, anyone who's chasing positions of authority, kol ha-misyar im chacham hu, if he's a wise person, chachmaso mistalekes, he loses his chachma. So his dafka, this zakin, recognize that if the family of Chashmonaim are fighting with each other, this is a moment where we can overthrow the Beis Hamikdash. They lost their chachma mitzad kedusha, asher mekomo Beis Hamikdash, and therefore he was able to give the eitzah to stop the Karban Tamid, and in that way undermine the Beis Hamikdash. Okay, final paragraph. We have to have a little kedushin connection, so we'll get a small kedushin connection. Always have to connect to our Masechta. V'inei Chachmeinu Zichronim Levracha Karuhu Zaki. Rav Nosson Gestetner says it calls this person who was well versed in Yevanis a Zaki. What is a Zaki? Shehu Toar Lechacham HaTorah. A Zaki is a term that we give, right, if used properly, is a term that's used for someone who studies Torah. Like the Gemara says, a zakein stands for zekanachachma, the one who has acquired wisdom. Lomar shalohay tocho kabaro. So now we learn one final point about this zakein who was well versed in Yevanis and caused the downfall of the Beis Hamikdash. Right? If he's called a zakein, that means he has some Torah knowledge in his life. He was a person who did have some Torah in his life, but it wasn't tocho kabaro. His Torah was what? Was superficial. His Torah was superficial, and his connection to the world of Yavan was deep, was real, was internal. Ki lefanim haya zokin shel Torah, uvekerev libo haya makir b'chachmas Yevanis. Superficially, he was a person of Torah. But on the inside, he had this wisdom of Yavan. V'amru dafka makir. He was a person what? Who was makir chachmas yivanis. What does that mean, makir? He recognized. What does that mean? Ki lo haya chacham afursim b'chachmas yivanis. He wasn't a person who was known for his chachmas yivanis. Ki bekir bo yosim aravau umi b'chus nidbach chacham haTorah. You have people sometimes who what? Who superficially is understood to be one thing, but internally is something else. Says in Nasan Gashtan there, it appears to me that this Zakin, who is Makir, B'chachmas Yevanis, right? Makir means he had an internal Hakara of his Chachmas Yevanis. Externally, he was a Zakin. People said, this person's a person of Torah. He's giving advice, which probably is not against the Torah. But he says, again, the words are, Ki Bekir Bo Yosim Arabo. Inside, he had his ambush, lurking and waiting. On the outside, he was a Torah personality. So now you understand why the imagery of the what? Of the chazir. What do we know about a pig? On the inside, it's got a problem. It doesn't chew its cud. But on the outside, it presents itself as a kosher animal. It presents itself as being very religious. Now you understand why dafka, they sent the pig over the wall. Kigam chazir eino megalo tumaso. Because the danger of Yavan is, again, that Yavan doesn't always present itself externally as threatening. Right? Like the pig that presents itself superficially as what? As being a source of tara. It conceals its tumah. Like the Medrash says, HaChazir hazeh b'shashu rovetz hu mafshid es talafav klomar shani tar. As the pig is rolling in the mud, it extends its hooves as if to say, I am a pure animal. V'ilav shayamar b'bachot simani tar lahatos es abriyos lo yitachet shebeneyos tabolis yikavlu atzasa lahalos chazir beis Hashem. If not for the fact, why would they send the pig? These were from people. Why would they send the pig over the wall? The only way they could have fallen for such a thing is that what? A person who superficially was a Torah person told them this is okay. And they thought, okay, if he says it's okay, it's okay. Little did they know that this person was filled with Chachmas Yevanis on the inside. But Rav Machlokas Simas Einam. But the Machlokas, the Yura, the haughtiness of these individuals caused them to be blinded from the truth. They didn't realize that they were about to destroy the Beis HaMikdash. V'ro gam simani tara chitzonim shel hachazir. They were fell for, again, the outer layer of the pig. The pig also looks kosher on the outside. V'lo hirgishu b'tumasu apnimis. V'kamosu lo hirgishu ba'atzas osa rasha. The same way they didn't recognize that this zakin on the outside might have good advice, but on the inside it's very destructive. V'lachein. So now you understand the moment that Eretz Yisrael began to tremble. V'lachein kasher hirgia lachati choma v'na'at siparnav oz hizdaza Eretz Yisrael. It was dafka at the moment that what? That the pig dug its hooves into the walls. That the hooves of the pig touched the walls. That Eretz Yisrael began to shake. Why? Dafka tziparnav. Asher shom mara talafav glomar tarani. That it extended its hooves as if to say, I'm tar. But Eretz Yisrael, which is a place of pnimius, Eretz Yisrael understands the truth. And Eretz Yisrael said, oi, look what's happening here. Something that b'chitzonius looks acceptable is making its way inside, into the walls of Yerushalayim. Asher garam l'Eretz Yisrael, she is dazeya. The ilu lo haya ba barama el asher tamaso haisa niras lein kol lo hayitzarach li is dazeya. K'mimele nikaras tamaso. If the tumah would be on the outside, everyone would recognize it. But sometimes what? Sometimes you have something which on the outside, it looks totally normal. And no one responds to it. No one thinks to bat an eyelash because everything's fine. So therefore, Eretz Yisrael started to shake. Right? The same way that sometimes a person, right, when we shake, when something is unsettling on the inside and the whole body starts to move, right? It's like a wake up call. Something's happening. Had it been recognizable tuma, then it never would have. Eretz Yisrael wouldn't have to shake to wake us up. Anyone wants to see would be able to see. The danger wouldn't be that great. But the fact that it extended its hooves to present itself as it made its way over the wall as tar, So however, let's remember where we started. The opening question. Why did the Yevanim say, Kisvu al Karen Hashur, Shein Lechem Chelek Milkei Yisrael? Because the Yevanim wanted us to what? They wanted us to stop recognizing HaKadosh Baruch Hu. They wanted us to choose a wisdom that is devoid of godliness. As I was walking out of Minyan this morning with Justin, we were talking about a pasuk in today's Shir Shal Yom. It says in the Shir Shal Yom, what does it say? What does it say? It's your chedesh, you say. Lo yebucha elzar. So the Gemara says in Maseches Shabbos, lo yebucha elzar. Don't allow the foreign god to dwell inside you. The Gemara says that's the Yetzirah. The Yetzirah could become like a foreign god within a person. The Kotzker Rebbe said a different shot. Lo yebucha elzar. Don't allow what? Lo yebucha elzar. Don't allow God to be foreign to you. Well, yeah, b'cha, it shouldn't be for you, Elzar, that God is foreign. We should live with awareness of Hashem. Right? Like the shore, at least like the ox that recognized his master. But Justin took it even one step further, which is very important for us who are learning in yeshiva. Because the Medrash in Mishlei says, right, the Medrash in Mishlei says that whenever we see the word b'cha, it often hints to the Chaf Beis Osios of the Torah, the 22 letters. Aleph, Beis, Gimel, Dalet through Tav. There's 22 letters that make up the Torah. Right? So, for example, you have a pasuk that says Asher Becha Espar. Asher Becha Espar. Right? That through Becha, through the 22 letters of the Torah, we give glory and honor to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So, Justin wanted to add the following deeper understanding of the pasuk in the Shir Shal Yom. Lo Yeh Becha Elzar. When you're Osek in Becha, when you study the 22 letters of Torah, when you're learning Torah, right? Don't allow what? Don't allow, say it how you want to say it. No, you say it how you want to say it. Go. Say it.
You can't take God out of the picture. Don't make the Torah like separate from God. Don't make God strength to the Torah. You need to learn Torah with God.
Right. Lo yebucha, when you're osek in becha, when you're studying Torah, don't let El be zar. Don't let God be strange. God shouldn't be outside of the Torah learning experience. That when you learn Torah, you have to learn Torah with Hashem. Right? All the more so when you learn Torah. When you're being osek in God, you should be aware of God. But again, the Yavanim wanted us to lose sight of God everywhere that we go. Right? Not just, again, like the chamor that loses itself through taiva, but to make a shita, to become so wise with all sorts of wisdom that what? That a Kadosh Baruch Hu becomes something that we don't want to recognize, that we're not interested in identifying anymore. We should be like the shore that recognizes the Jewish God. And we should appreciate the Beis HaMikdash and the Torah that emanates from the Beis HaMikdash, the Shemin of the Heichal, which the Yavanim wanted to target. Okay, Chodesh Tov, Shkoyach. My first taste of the lights of Hanukkah. Yirtz Hashem al